Next up, we have Kathy Perillo, and Kathy is at Washington State University. The name of her talk today is Agricultural Learning from Stakeholders on Their Turf, Student Reactions and Reflections.
Well, thanks and welcome, and nice to see some people sticking around before the break. So I kind of feel like what I'm going to have to talk about could really touch on a lot of the things that have been said in the presentations beforehand, and if I don't actually mention them, you can ask me during questions about them. I wanted to introduce a little bit about my co-authors on this project. I'll talk about how we give a little background on this course, and Cinda Williams at University of Idaho, who's a sustainable ag programmer and now with a county director for extension. And then Jessica Goldberger is a relatively new faculty member who came in rural sociology, and Marcy Ostrom is also used to be in rural sociology, and I say used to be because we're one of the universities that got rid of their rural sociology department. Jessica's now actually in crop and soil sciences. Marcy was brought in as director of small farms program with her home in rural sociology. And the reason I mention that is because when we use the word agroecological, I'll try not to say that too many times, we're talking in the really broad context, including social, economic type factors as well. And we thought it really important to have at least a multidisciplinary team that went beyond the natural scientists. I'm going to give you some background on this course and why and how it was developed and how it works and the types of reflections we did as a way to, as background in order to actually talk about what the students said. So hopefully we will do that. If we have time, I'll talk about some kind of quick informal survey I did of some of our alumni just recently who have gone on and are working in agriculture about the impact of this course they took 5 or more years ago. So back in 2001, there was something called the Sustainable Food Systems Initiative in Washington and Idaho, and it was a regional sub-project of a W.K. Kellogg Foundation project, and we had people from multiple institutions besides our two land grants, the Evergreen State College, Western Washington, we're in on that College of Southern Idaho, and quite a few different industry people, including, you know, some like telephone companies, you know, things you wouldn't necessarily think had to do with food. It was a really pretty interesting group. I don't know all the origins of how it was pulled together. But I think there were 11 projects determined under that initiative, and two of those were to develop, an introductory level course and a senior level course in sustainable food systems. And the whole people are disconnected from their food system, blah, 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 was our rationale there. So different groups worked on these, brought in other people. And so a committee, huge committee, multi-institutional, very multidisciplinary, came up with this set of goals, which I'm going to talk about here, and there's some other goals like good communication skills and things like that as well. But essentially, we want to have, and I'm going to focus now on the upper level class. The introductory class has its own stories. But to understand sustainability issues in current food systems, to recognize the wide variety of worldviews and how different disciplines do things differently and think about things differently and talk about them differently, and how different people have different decision-making processes, and that maybe some of the disconnects we see in our food system are due to that lack of communication between disciplines, those sort of unintentional barriers there. And one of the members on the team, another rural sociologist at the time actually, he said he wanted the students to know how their own major, the problems their own discipline have caused in food systems, so that they would see the pluses and minuses, et cetera, of different disciplines. So this is all great. We're like, how the heck are we going to, you know, what do we do to teach that? I mean, to really teach it so that the students are internalizing this information. Well, about the same time as when I learned about the course that Mary Wiedenhoff and Chuck Francis and at that time Paul Porter, Steve Simmons, and other people in Nebraska Midwest, Nebraska, Minnesota. I'm trying to decide if that's really the Midwest or the Plains there at one point, but they were teaching you might call it a travel course, where they went to different farms, especially in a few other parts of the food system, in an immersion experience. And I actually had the opportunity to go on that course with them and was totally sold that this is what we need to do for our experience that we would like to have our students. And so you see the course catalog description. We collaboratively list it with the University of Idaho, who's just 7 miles away, and our students can go back and forth between campuses pretty easily. So just as a structure of generally what the class looks like, it's changed a little because we've offered it different timings, but the students are given a set of readings ahead of time with discussion related to those readings and their own backgrounds. Then we meet for a week. Right now, we've been doing it over spring break. We have the same spring break with the University of Idaho, too. So we meet for 7 days and seven nights, Saturday to Saturday. And a typical day in the field, we'd see several sites. Here we go to a 15,000-acre cattle and wheat ranch. Happened to drive by the Nez Perce Historical Park, so we stop in there and actually have coincidentally had a great presentation by folks that particular year. We go to the port where that farmer takes his wheat so that it gets loaded onto the barges, goes down the river through Portland over to Asia. We go to Genesee Union Warehouse, which is a local co-op, and we learned a lot about the international marketing. Most of the wheat grown in Washington goes overseas. Then we go to a little small farm in the city limits of Moscow, Idaho, which is where University of Idaho is, and that's the, you know, sort of idealistic, back to the landers, excellent farmers. You know, they have the most popular stand at the Moscow Farmers Market, et cetera, and, you know, all around, well-rounded farm, but they've been thinking about fuel use and soil quality and things like that for years and years and years. So we do this for days 2, 3, 4, 5. Day 6, the students are charged with putting together, and we used to call it a presentation, and this is, again, modeled after the Nebraska, Iowa, et cetera course, to do a presentation. But it's not really a presentation. It's meant to be, they're supposed to create a learning experience that is interactive and teaches the rest of the class something that has emerged based on our common experience during that week. And then on the 7th day, we kind of do an evaluation and debrief and go home so we can get home before nightfall for wherever we are. So usually many students have many miles to drive, depending where we offer the course. And then they go back to campus and or if they're from California or wherever and do their group paper writing and individual work, you know, through online methods. So one thing that's really important in this course is on our first day, again, modeled after the Midwest course, you know, we do our introductions, and we try to make sure everyone, you know, gets to sort of know each other and we can all talk. We do a team building activity. Part of it, the students are broken up into some different kinds of groups and everything. And so we do a team building activity, which is great because actually people refer back to that activity throughout the course as they go on. So we spend part of that first day doing that, and it's usually like an afternoon. And then we also spend some time preparing them for our first day in the field, which will be the next day. And we tell them it's not, you're not there to learn what planting density they used or what irrigation system they have. You want to know that, but what you want to know is why they use that planting system. What decision-making factors went into coming up with what they do? Why do they market this way instead of that way? That's what we're really after in this course, but they're supposed to know what the production, what actually was happening at that place as well. We also try to emphasize you guys are all seniors, juniors, or graduate students, or we also opened it to community members for professional development and have had a number of current extension folks taking it as well. We say, you guys have skills. Use them. You know, you have some expertise by now. Take care of using that. Rely on your classmates. They have different skills than you do. And we also spend some time talking about being respectful, and if you don't like the way you see some management piece going on, don't criticize the farmer. You know, ask them about why they're doing what they're doing in a respectful way and try and learn from them because they've invited us in or we've asked to be invited to their place. And then, especially since we added our sociologists when they came on board, we spent some time about how do you ask a question that's a real, you know, a good question that'll get a, it's open-ended, it's not judgmental, it's going to give you, you know, a better answer rather than asking leading questions, et cetera. Okay. And they get a little time to plan their first day in the field. Okay, so in this course, what we're trying to do is, or what our basis is, I guess, is stakeholders, that being farmers or the barge operator or the farmer market manager or the Hmong farmer or the grocery store manager. They're telling us what they do about their operations, and the students are asking. We're also in there all as co-learners, which is something that comes from the Midwest course, as does a intentional reflection piece. And if you were here for Chuck Francis's presentation before, you saw the Kolb cycle, though he used the version that goes the opposite direction, but I need to go left to right, I think, on mine. And basically what that is telling you is if you have some sort of experience, you know, I don't know if it's the ideal cycle, if that's the way Kolb would have said it, but the complete cycle would be to have the experience, reflect about it, react to it, think about it, and then whatever you're going to do, then you see what happens from what you did and go through that cycle again. And what one of the things that was kind of interesting that they, Kolb and others, came up with was that when you look at agricultural professionals, I don't necessarily mean faculty, but extension people, people who are working in the field, farmers, they will tend to plot out something like this. If you look at that as a grid of quadrants, where from left to right, some people just jump in and do it and they never think about it, and then other people reflect and never do anything, all of us in this room would plot somewhere on that line. But a lot of people in the applied agricultural fields will be in that bottom left quadrant. And you notice the quadrant that has the least typically is that top right one. So we said, okay, we're going to try and work on that part of the circle and have everybody, you know, really do that. And so it was intentionally put in there actually as for pedagogical reasons. And so what did we do? Every night during that week, the first day, the last morning, they had to answer a little questionnaire. It was one page each day, I think. The last one was, I don't know, 400 pages. No, it was probably, it might have been six or something like that. But every single day they answered the question, what are my most important insights today? What new considerations were raised today? And how did today's activities help me with three different things, the recognizing the networks and systems, how, like the three different sustainability circles and other factors all are intertwined and interplay with each other, and how paying attention to all of these or not affects the success of different enterprises. So every day they're asked this question because those are the course goals right there. Then finally on the last day we ask them the same questions with respect to the entire week. And then we also ask them things like rating the overall value of the course to date, how were the site visits, how did this community learning immersion experience work for you, and how did it influence your own values or worldviews? Okay. So now we'll switch gears and actually, I forgot to look at how much time do I have?
2 minutes.
2? 3 minutes? Oh my gosh. He was. It's good not to know the organizers sometimes. No. So I have a couple slides here with like quantitative, because every day they rated 1 to 5. Did this have value, whatever? And all my data is going to be from the last end of that field week. But the ratings are always 4s and 5s. I think over 6 years of data, say average of 15 students a year, there was one student who did some threes, two students who did threes, and one student who had a couple twos. Otherwise, it's always been very high. They put high value on all those three course goals. And now I have mostly comments to show you, because what I wanted to try and get at is, okay, we're out in the field, everyone loves it. Why? What's the value added, though? What is that piece? And to see if we could pull that out. And so here are some of the quotes. I never really thought they were connected, but now I do. You know, that's kind of your classic big step forward. That's kind of the first step in it. And then some of them are more complex. Asking them again about their personal choices, worldviews. Pretty high ratings. I really liked this quote, so I had to share that. I knew Chuck would love it in particular. and they wrote, which is a good thing. That wasn't me. That was their own work. So, then a little bit on the values, how the all the conversations in small group and large group discussions helped open their minds to other ways of thinking. This was in the what are the two or three most important things you learned during this week? How other people think, which if that isn't one of the major goals that we as teachers have when we're trying to have our students act out in the real world, that's definitely one of those intangible ones that you can't really grade on a test. Some comments on the immersion approach. My classmates made observations I didn't. I loved the diversity of my classmates and how it was a good environment for allowing this type of interaction. This particular group in this photo was actually the most surly of the groups of all the years. So it's kind of fun when I was looking back and found that picture. So some people, you know, you think about it, look at that middle quote, 14 hours straight every day? Bless me. And I was like, well, yeah, we'd sometimes left at 7 and finished at 10 at night. Yeah, I guess it was kind of a lot. And, you know, sometimes we were working at night at a picnic table. And for the most part, you know, people, it's hard to handle that intensity. There was less than one person a year who would write this sort of comment, which was amazing. I think that final one, it's exhausting, long, hot living if we're doing it in the summer. But I don't know how else you would get so much information in so short a time. The site visits, there were a lot of comments about it was great, it was incredible. It's life-changing. But I'm trying to think, okay, what's that value added? Why is it incredible? What's life-changing about it? And here were two that I pulled out that I, like, maybe captured pieces of it. So spending time at a site builds trust so that you're being shown more and told more. It's easy to judge until you're involved. And I think they mean involved in the conversation or seeing the pieces of the operation. There was another farm with a 1970s back to the lander who's one of the best, you know, known as one of the best organic farmers in the state of Washington. And students were kind of laughing at this guy because he was like kind of kooky. But then we were there and, you know, kind of immersed with him and talking about things, and then something like it sort of clicked. Everyone realized that he was actually really bright, not well educated, but really bright and really on top of things in a sustainability-wise manner. So maybe I'll end with a quote on longer-term impacts. Let's see, this is kind of echoes some of the student comments. The one I wanted to get to, here's another one, is about what's that thing that makes being at someone's farm or in the packing plant, warehouse, etc., is you actually get some empathy for that person. Instead of the grocery retailer being like that bad guy who stocks things on shelves based on how much companies pay him, he's like this human who has all these issues he needs to juggle. And then finally, several of the people, I think I sent this to about 5 people, who are in extension now, and they talked about how they still use some of the things and the experiences and the knowledge from that course in their work every day. So we will end with my little last slide there. So thank you. I think I went over a minute. Sorry.